Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And again, just what a blessing it is to be in church, and especially midweek services, I think, are very important, as never know just what we're going through in the middle of the week and what we've already had to deal with and then what's ahead of us. And just midweek, being able to come together and be refreshed and just meet with the Lord is just a blessing to be here on Wednesday night. I trust that you feel the very same way. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Ruth in chapter 2. And Ruth in chapter 2, Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying on the life of Ruth. And when you read the beginning here in the book of Ruth, and even as you read through it, you might think it's a book about Naomi, but it is not. It is the main character of this book is Ruth, a lost Moabitess that gets saved and moves to Israel to be able to gain more insight into the God of creation. And so the life of Ruth. Last week, we looked at verse 22 of chapter 1. And after they got back to Bethlehem, and we have Naomi and Ruth now back, both of them are destitute widows. They don't have anything. They can return to Bethlehem empty. And yet, they're in God's will. That's the key, the critical part of what's taking place. Even though they're widows and they're destitute, they are in God's will. They have been obedient to go to the land of Israel and go to Bethlehem. And so, we looked at last week there. We can look for God's blessings. You can look for God to work in your life when making right decisions. When you're focused on just whatever God wants me to do, just like the song sang, was sung, the message there. When you're focused on just saying, Lord, I'll do whatever I know you want me to do, if that is your mentality, if that's what you have committed to, you can look for God to work in your life. God blesses obedience. It's when we are rebelling, when we say, I'll not go there, I'll not do that, I'm not willing, I don't want it, whatever it might be, then don't be looking for God to bless you. Don't be looking for God to work in your life outside of chastisement. Amen. But when you are obedient to God's will, you know that you are, as far as you know, doing everything that God has revealed that He wants you to do, then you can look for God to work in your life. And God works in our lives for good. And so that is Ruth, and that is Naomi. Ruth accepts, now she's back in there with Naomi, learning more about God. She accepts her circumstances of life. She lost her husband. She's found God. She's poor and destitute, and she's a widow, but she's in the land of the children of God, in the land of Israel. And she's learning what she can do. Well, she learned that the way that God takes care of the poor is for them to be willing to work. And if they're willing to work, then she could glean behind the reapers. And so it was not coincidental. We find that the Bible says, and they're in the land of Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. God controls the circumstances of our life. Amen. And when you're being obedient, things just don't happen. God controls the circumstances in our lives. And it's through those circumstances that we can see the hand of God working. That's what we looked at last week. Now, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading chapter 2, verses 1 down to verse 7. Chapter 2, hopefully you kind of know where we're at here in the life of Ruth. She's saved now. She is a widow. She's destitute. She's followed Naomi because Naomi was the only connection she had to God. She followed Naomi back. Now her and Naomi are in the will of God, and they're looking to see what God's purpose and plan is for their lives. And so we go to chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again tonight, thank you for giving us the opportunity, making available to each one that's here to be in church tonight. I know there's many that would love to come tonight and be a part of the service but are not able to because of different reasons and situations. But we thank you for those that have taken advantage of the opportunity and they're here tonight. And God, you know exactly what's taken place in each one of our lives as we have sought to just to worship you and to receive from your word truths. Pray that you would just open up our understanding to the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So here we look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and understanding here that God was silently leading and preparing Ruth and Boaz. So now we find a new character that has been introduced in chapter 2, and this was the character of Boaz, which would have been a kinsman to Elimelech. Now, as far as we know, Ruth did not know about Boaz. Naomi did not even think about Boaz. We'll find later on in chapter 2 and going into chapter 3 that when she hears about Boaz, and then Naomi remembers that, oh yeah, he is a kin to my late husband. He is a kinsman to Elimelech. And she did not think about, when she got back into Israel, to try to find Boaz and ask him, because he had a lot of money, and ask him to take care of her. She didn't have that in her mind. She didn't say, I'm coming back, and instead of depending on God, I'm going to depend upon my family to take care of me. Can we move in with you, Boaz? Haven't you got a spare room? But she didn't even think about Boaz, because Ruth did not know about him when she went out to glean. As far as we know, she's going to be introduced to Boaz, and we're going to find that a little bit later. But the idea, they both came back. We find that Naomi's bitter, but she is doing what God told her to do. She come home. She repented, and she come home to Bethlehem. Ruth is a new believer. She's just looking to learn what God would have her to do. And as she learns, she has a mindset of, I'll do whatever it is God wants me to do. I want to serve God. I want God to be my God. And I want to have a relationship with this Creator God. I want His blessings upon my life. That is the mentality of Ruth. And so now neither one of them know of Boaz, but they come, and Ruth is learning more about just how things are done in Israel. She was raised a Moabitess. She was raised to believe in the false gods of Baal. She had no idea, except for when she married into the family, then she started learning about the God of Israel. And at some point before she returns, she receives him. And she comes back, she goes with Naomi back to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem. So we find here that she had decided that she was going to apply what she knew that God would have her to do. If she's poor and desolate and a widow, God had made provisions for them to be able to go and glean behind the reapers. God controlled the timing of when they returned. When they returned, it was harvest time. So there would be a possibility of her being able to glean behind the reapers because it was harvest time. And so she decides that she's going to do what she knows God would have her to do, and now she's going out and she is going to reap and glean behind the reapers. Well, again, tonight what we're looking at here, as we've just read these seven verses, God was silently, he didn't tell her to go. He didn't tell her which field to go to. So there was not an audible voice. She did not have Naomi telling her which field to go to. She just had something in her heart saying, just go. You see? So God was silently leading and preparing these two characters. First about Ruth, and we'll find this to be a lesson on God's providential care of Ruth. That's what we're looking at here. God's providential care of Ruth, a new believer. And he was silently leading and preparing Boaz. So we'll learn some more about this Bible character. Now it's been introduced as Boaz. So as God was leading and preparing Ruth, again at this time, Ruth did not know about Boaz. She just goes out. She says, I'm going to go to the field where I see them, where they're reaping, and I'm going to go ask if I can glean behind the reapers of the field. And she goes to a field, and there's fields all around because it's harvest time. And so she picks the field that she's going to go to. And because God was silently leading her, she went according to how God was leading her to the field that belonged to Boaz. Not knowing, but knowing God was leading. Yeah. Ruth was not told to go. She volunteered to go. She has permission to go. She said, all right, Naomi, if this is what we're supposed to do, let me go. Verse 2, she says, and Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. And I'm going to find somebody that will allow me to reap in their field. I'll find grace. That's what she says there. She says, and ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Now that was, she's not talking about Boaz there. She's talking about somebody who owns a field. I'll find grace. He'll let me, even being a Moabitess, they'll let me glean in their fields. Because not everyone obeyed the Bible. Imagine that. It was God's will, but not everyone would allow just anyone to come in and glean from the field. And so she had to find grace as a Moabitess, and whoever was in control of the gleaners and giving permission to glean in this field. And so she finds one who ends up telling Boaz exactly what she said and what he said. Okay, so that's who she was looking to find grace in his sight, to be able to open the door for her to be able to glean. That's what's taking place here. So she was yielding to being led by God. And her hap, that means what happened, the field that she chose and the servant that allowed her to glean behind the reapers just so happened to be the field of Boaz. She still does not understand who Boaz is. She was yielding to being led by God. Now, the world would call this, boy, she was lucky. Yeah. What luck? She just luckily. I mean, it was luck that she found that field. Or they might say, well, She accidentally found that one. You just accident, something happened in your life. Well, it was an accident. Really? Do you believe God's leading in your life or not? You really would rather think it's luck? You would think it would be an accident? Or do you have enough faith to believe that God is leading? Yeah. Is it a coincidence? Well, all these things are just coincidence that this was going on. The world would say, yes, it was just a coincidence that that happened. And I would say, no. It wasn't luck. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just by chance. God was working. God was leading. Didn't hear a voice. Didn't have somebody even instruct me, basically. I just went. And as I had faith in God, He led. And as He led, I came to the right place. Don't listen to the world's philosophy of what's going on in your life. If you believe in God, then understand that God wants to lead, guide, and direct you as His child. It's a providential care of God. Every day, God leads and God prepares. If you're saved, and if you're looking to God and you're not being judged by God because you're running from God, but if you are being obedient to whatever it is that God, you know God would have you to do, if you just obey what God, you know God would have you to do, you can have the confidence that God is doing two things in your life every day. He is preparing you and He is leading you. Just what God, that's the providential care of God. That's just what God does. He leads and prepares all who will be used. Because not only was He leading and preparing Ruth, He was leading and preparing Boaz. He knew that there would be a connection. Ruth didn't know it, Boaz didn't know it, but they both knew God. Romans chapter 11, look there with me. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. I want you to start there. Every day, God leads and God prepares. He is either leading and preparing you to be used every day in every situation, or He's leading and preparing you to be helped. Sometimes God says, no, I want to use you today. Other times God says, no, I want to give you some help today. I know that you're in need. I know that you're a little down. I know that you need a little encouragement. I know you need a little boost. But every day, God leads and God prepares. He leads and He prepares, first of all, to be used. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, it says this. Likewise, ye reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's saying, I want God's will for my life. I'm going to be obedient. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God. Whoa. I want you to get that. If you're going to be led, and if you're going to be prepared for whatever God knows that He's going to do in your life today, you have to yield. If God is preparing you, yield to Him. If God is leading you, yield to Him. Stop thinking that I just need something lucky to happen to me. I just need to, by chance, have this happen. No. If you're a child of God's and you're in God's will, you can look for God to work in your life. And can I tell you that as long as you're aware of God and you're yielding to God, He is either yielding you or preparing you for to be used or to be helped. So yield yourselves unto God. He will not force you to do that. If you're going to yield, that means it comes from your free will. But it's a large part of how God works in our lives today. Yield. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'm going to yield to either be prepared or led. Look what he says in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Am I a servant of God's? Or do I choose to serve the flesh? Do I serve to choose me? Do I choose to be a servant of the world? Is that who you're yielding to? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Yeah. So God is leading every day and preparing us every day, all who will be used. Yeah. And God is leading and preparing all that will be helped. Look to Matthew chapter 6. This is what the Bible teaches. I don't need luck. I don't need accidents to happen. I'm not looking for by chance. I'm just looking to God. Yielding to being led silently and being prepared. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? Okay? God is leading and preparing all who will be helped, all who have needs. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Hello? Are you waiting for the government to step up and help you? Are you yielding to God, who is going to every day lead and prepare those to be used and those to be helped? And then he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you are looking to God and seeking after God's help, then God's help will come through. Amen. He knows what you need. He knows when he is going to use you, or he's going to help you every day. Every day. When I'm preparing to be used as a pastor, I have a position that God uses as a shepherd over his sheep, as an under-shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. I'm just an under-shepherd. But in the position I have, I have a position that God wants to work through to be used a lot. And I don't take that lightly. Every time that I know that God is leading and preparing me to be used, I'm asking God, replace my thoughts with your thoughts. if I'm going to stand up and I'm going to teach, or if I'm going to stand before a congregation, a crowd, whatever it might be, wherever I'm at, whenever I have opportunity to preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God, whether I'm in a pastor's conference or I'm in a teaching and revival, or if I'm preaching in our church, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm at, then, and I know that God is going to work through me. He wants to use me. He's given me an opportunity to preach. He's given me an opportunity to teach. Then I am begging God, God, replace my thoughts with your thoughts. God, replace my heart with your heart. God, use me as a vessel in your hands. If you sense that God is leading and preparing you to be used, then be used. Ask God, God, I sense silently you're working, you're giving me an opportunity. This person has asked me about salvation. This person has asked me, that they've confided in me that they're having marital problems. They've confided in me that this is going on with their children. They've confided in me that they're having financial issues. They're confiding in me that they have whatever it might be. And God says, I want to use you. He is preparing you and leading you to be used of God. Then you need to start automatically, silently saying, God, give me the words. Because God is leading and guiding you to be used to help somebody else. It's just how God works. If I'm preparing to be helped, when I go to Bible conferences, and I sit under preaching. That's what I do when I go to Bible conferences. We usually have a couple messages in the morning, sometimes a couple messages at night, at least one message at night. And I'm listening, and I'm preparing to be helped. And I say what I try to get you to do every time we assemble ourselves together. God, speak to me as I have need to be spoken through to. God, this person up here, I might not like the individual per se, but God, you put him in a position to preach to us preachers. And so God, whether I like him or not, that really doesn't matter. I say, but God, empower him and use him to speak to me as I have need to be spoken to. Wow. Because I'm preparing to be helped. You find yourself in need, a widow, and destitute, prepare to be helped. God, lead me and prepare me for your help. That's what Ruth was doing. Boaz didn't know Ruth, but Boaz knew God. And Boaz sensed that, God, you're going to bring somebody in my life today that you want me to help. God, help me to know who they are and what you'd have me to do for them. That's every day. That is every day. God leads and God prepares. I love this quote. When we get on the path of obedience, divine providence goes before us and with us. When we get on the path of obedience, and that is key, divine providence, that means God starts working, and he goes before us, and he prepares everything in front of us, and he goes with us. He prepares me for what he has coming. Yeah, wow. That's good stuff. Yeah. So God was silently leading and preparing Ruth. And God was also, now the second part of this, as we have a little bit of time here, God was preparing, leading Boaz, this new character that has been introduced into the book of Ruth. The Bible says in verse 4, okay, now Ruth has been led and she's in the right field. The Bible says, and behold, did you see that right there? Behold, When you see behold, God wants you to behold it. God says, this is not a coincidence. Just understand what's going on here. Look what happened. Behold this. Boaz came from Bethlehem. The same day, at the right time. Wow. The providence of God. Or if you're worldly mind, you're thinking, well, what a coincidence. Boy, she was lucky that day. No. That's the world's view. I don't want to be lucky. I don't want to, by accident, I want to know that God is leading and preparing. God is at work in my life, and God is at work in your life, and God is an almighty God who knows all things. So we find here the same day at the right time, a kinsman of Elimelech. The son of Rahab the harlot. Behold. A kin to Elimelech, okay, yeah, wow, okay. But the son of the harlot from Jericho? Do you think God had something to do with preparing him for this particular time? Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Everybody following me tonight? Don't go to sleep. Come on. Stay with me here. There's a lot here with Boaz. Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see this. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. The book of the chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the son of Abraham. The genealogy. Now, with the genealogy, he takes it there, but go down to verse 5. And Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab, which is Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. God was at work leading and preparing Boaz's whole life. Boaz, the son of Rahab. He was prepared by God to be able to consider a converted Moabitess to be his wife. Other kinsmen of Elimelech would not have, and we'll find later on, that broke the deal when they had to become the husband of a Moabitess. Because the Jews hated the Moabites, and the Moabites hated the Jews. They were at odds against each other. And God had prepared a kinsman who would be willing and even desired to take on a Moabite, a converted Moabitess, to be his wife. Wow. Now do you see why God says, behold? Behold Boaz. Behold Boaz. Who is he? What's his background? What did God do in preparing him and leading him? Well, that doesn't stop there. Boaz, the son of a harlot who had converted, okay, she converted to being a worshiper of God in the promised land. No doubt she did that. But he would have seen everything. He would have experienced A little bit of the old life, a little bit of the new life. He was led and prepared and now being led to be able to help Ruth. And something else about him. He was rich. That means he would be able to redeem her and buy back all of Naomi's land that she had forfeited when she left Israel. Look at verse 1 in chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth. Means he had quite a bit of money. The son of a harlot becoming a wealthy kinsman of Ruth. Is that a coincidence? Is that an accident? That is the providence of God. The providence of God. Well, it doesn't stop there. Not only was he the son of a converted harlot, not only was he wealthy, he loved God. He loved God. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. And behold, Boaz, and behold, Boaz, he came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And a greeting. A lot of people greet people in a different ways. But if you're a godly individual, when you come into the presence of somebody, especially back then, for him to say, the Lord bless you, means that he had connections with the Lord. And not only that, but his servant's response to him was, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. I think he was a godly man. Not by accident, but because of the providence of God. As God had prepared him to be a godly, wealthy kinsman redeemer. Yeah. If you have need of that, God has somebody like that for you. Amen. If you're obedient to God, and God's either leading and preparing you to be used or to be helped. And when you get ready to be helped, God has somebody that he's prepared that qualifies to meet your need. Yeah. Well, now Boaz, when he gets there, verse 5, I'm almost done, follow me here. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Is she married? That's what he's saying. God placed a desire in Boaz for Ruth. Can I tell you, God can give you desires . Right desires ought to be prayed for. Sometimes we have a need to give me a desire to love that person. God, they're a member of the church, and as a body of Christ, we're supposed to love one another and help one another and be used to be a blessing to one another. God, I have a hard time. God, would you do something in me that I might have a desire to be a friend? Would you do something in me, God, that I might be able to love as you want me to? That's exactly what happened here. Physical attraction is not everything, but a lot of times it is the first thing. I'm not saying there was not a physical attraction. I think there could have been. I don't think there had to be. Because God can place something inside of us that is more powerful than a physical attraction. They say that beauty is within the eyes of the beholder. Have you ever looked at a couple and said, how in the world did that guy get that woman? I'm just asking. It could be that God said, she needs you and you need her. And that desire was placed in there by God. Boaz is attracted not only to her beauty, I think that she could have been a beautiful woman, but as we continue looking here, he was attracted to her attributes and her godly character. Look at verse 6 and 7. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. So that's telling him quite a bit about her already. A Moabite comes back to Israel, knowing how the Jews hated the Moabites. And she was willing and chose to come back with Naomi. And she said, this is what he's telling Boaz that she said. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you. She humbled herself. Let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. She's a hard worker. And she tarried little in the house. She didn't take many breaks. She's worked all day long, Boaz. So it wasn't just her looks. Boaz was attracted to her character. Matter of fact, in verse 11, 12, we'll close right here. Verse 11, this is what Boaz says to her. We'll study this next week. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. He knows more about her than her looks. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Wow. She's just being led and prepared. And he's just being led and prepared by the providence of God. Not luck, not by chance, but by the providence of God. God still works that way today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you really rather think it's just being lucky? That's how you want to live your life, by chance? Looking at coincidences? Calling it a coincidence? Calling it an accident? Or would you rather understand the truth of a child of God who's being obedient to God and knowing that He is going before you, and He will go with you to use you and to help you at the same time. Not going to give a musical invitation, but there's always an opportunity to come to the altar, always an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. God spoke to you tonight, you have a decision to make, make it now. Apply whatever it might be to your circumstances of life. God is in control of circumstances, and God works as He leads and He prepares. Anyone else? Father, we do bow before you tonight. What a blessing it is just to continue to study your word and learn these biblical principles that reveal to us who you are. You're the same God today as you was in the Old Testament, working in the life of Ruth. And I pray, God, that we would see that. And our part is just look to be obedient and yield to your leading and yield to whatever that you're using to prepare us for your will for our life. Be with each one that's making decisions tonight. Strengthen them. Help them, God, to be able to apply that message to their life. Be with us as we get ready to leave here tonight. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.